I'm Gwen Douglas.
And I'm Emily Harmon.
Welcome to Juice Podcast.
Welcome to Juice Podcast.
We're in the back of a taxi in Düsseldorf with Andy Ben from the Michelburger.
Hello.
So we're going to do this like rough and ready. This episode is three things Andy Ben hates about wine. I mean, I'm going to say he offered.
Yeah, I mean, he volunteered the topic, so it's not like...
You had to cut me down to three.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. What's number one?
It's something that happens with a lot of things, but I feel with wine a lot, is that people using their slightly increased knowledge to expose other people's ignorance and use it as their own arrogance.
Weaponize their arrogance. I'm with and you.
Or weaponize their knowledge, or their little bit of knowledge.
Their little bit of knowledge, and often this ties into a lot of other things, but people telling you or exploiting people.
That keeps it classist and keeps it...
Keeps it classist,
elitist.
Keeps it sexist often, because women are often at the forefront of the mansplaining that goes on, as I've seen. It's very often that people will... You'll give people very clear hints that you know something and that you know exactly what you want, and they just don't listen to you because they're more interested in telling you what they know
and
what they think that they should tell you, which I find happens in wine more than it does in the rest of the...
Food industry,
yeah. You don't ask someone, like, what a parsnip is, and they just, like, tell you what a potato is.
So Gwen,
like, I really love parsnips. Oh,
let me tell you about a potato that I know.
Yeah, which happens all the time.
That's really funny. I like this analogy.
And what do you think, Gwen, as someone like who doesn't necessarily work directly with wine? Do you find that you feel
all
that?
The time? I mean, especially I'm a woman. I'm heavily tattooed. People just assume that I know nothing. So even if I hint at something, I try to steer. Say I'm asking for advice on a wine and on a list, and I ask a few questions, they'll still just treat me like I know absolutely nothing and not give any thought, or they just sort of say whatever. They don't give a shit about it, I would say.
I mean, I definitely find that. I find it a bit, well, in
restaurants... Throwaway, you know? Just
yeah,
like,
it
oh,
is.
I have that.
And it's a huge shame, because actually when someone shows a little bit of curiosity, they should be actually sort of nurturing that and showing them more interesting stuff and engaging with them.
Absolutely.
More, because you're kind of the perfect customer for so many restaurants.
Yeah, but people don't think that, right?
Yeah.
They look at me and assume something, and then that's it.
They see the Minions
glasses,
and they're like, oh my god. Okay. Okay.
Number two.
What's number two, Andy Ben?
Just inbred elitism, and this isn't actually the thing that annoys
me. Elitism.
Not inbred, but like the and it
We're
surprisingly
in the
enough, surprisingly enough, it isn't like the elitist tweed wearing old man on Pall Mall that annoys me.
It's my friends
that don't know anything about wine, that don't want to spend anything on wine because they feel that it is beyond their reach somehow, and they feel like they shouldn't spend 15 euros on a bottle of wine to have with their dinner. My answer to them is that they should spend £20 on a bottle of dinner and then buy a cheap bottle of vodka if that's what they want to use to get drunk.
Is that true elitism with wine?
I don't know. No, it's.
I think it's a product, anti-elitism. It's like an anti-brand.
I think it's a product. A product of like the long history of elitism that a lot of people feel afraid to spend money on wine. They feel that they don't know about it.
Or because they don't know anything, they go, well, I'm not going to... Yeah, it's stupid to spend money on
wine.
When am
I going to spend this much money on this? Where if they only just tried a little bit, then the rewards are very...
Yeah, but that trying a little bit shows that they don't know anything, or that they... And they don't want to feel like that. So it's safer to feel safe in their comfortable zone to say, like, I'm just going to spend this...
Here's how it leans into point one, is because when they go to a restaurant and they try to make a really open and humble point about, I don't really know what I want, they get like shot down by someone who just shows them how little they know, and then they are not encouraged in order to go and do it again.
Yeah, so it actually like compounds the problem at hand.
That's how I feel.
I mean, we also all look at the way we spend our money very differently. Like,
absolutely.
For example, you know, we say, look, a €40 bottle of wine, a £40 bottle of wine, or whatever. For most people, that maybe seems like an expensive bottle of wine.
And it's funny because I'll hum and haw over a shirt that's $30, but I won't even blink to spend that on a
Gwen,
wine.
And Gwen, do you know what? The price, you drink a bottle of wine between two of you, it maybe takes you an hour, but you'll pound down two cocktails for £10.
Yeah,
totally. 10 euros each within that hour and not even think about it and order a third. So it's like it's very much this idea of perspective. It's the same way of like how people pay for their gym memberships, and they're like, oh, I won't pay 10 pounds for a yoga session. And you're like, you just spent that on a glass of wine and drunk it in 20 minutes and you're just a 90 minute workout.
With tattooing, where people say, I won't spend 100 euros on a tattoo, but they're walking around with like 200 euro sneakers on. Yeah. That'll last two seasons, but a tattoo lasts their whole lifetime. Actually, it lasts longer than they do.
Yeah, so you want it done properly.
Yeah, but yeah. So I guess everyone puts value in different things.
Agreed. What is wine peeve number three?
Third thing I hate about wine is the acceptance of serving really faulty natural wines under the guise of interesting.
Agreed.
I really support the natural wine movement, and I think they do fantastic things for the environment, for people's perceptions, but don't serve really, really bad wines and not, I don't know.
I think that makes a lot of sense, because a lot of what natural wine is doing is declassing all of these other pet peeves, but at the same time, every time a bad bottle of natural wine that's faulty is served, it devalues natural wine.
Well, it's the same. There's the same level of miseducation with wine professionals with conventional wine as there is with natural wine. Unfortunately, there are the same people serving wines that are out of condition, but they're using the excuse that it's natural
as a way to
validate what they're serving, because actually they don't know what they're serving. So I think it all comes down to, we all have to be a bit more informed, we'll have to learn a little bit more about what we're serving.
Yeah, super.
So we're at the end of our journey. Thank you very much, Andy Ben, for coming on and sharing your three wine pet peeves.
I'm Gwen Douglas. You can find me on Instagram, or us on Instagram, at juice.podcast.
And you can find us on Twitter at juice_podcast, and on our website at juice.show, where you can find some tote bags.
Thank you.
Shut up.